Here's a recording made from a small independent step office in Marshfield, Vermont, in July 1975. What I would often do with a step office is go through the switching train with the tape running while narrating what I was dialing. And the reason I did that is because I didn't know better. Later I learned to make better tapes. In any case, this is one of those, and thanks to a lot of editing, I think I can turn this into a decent program. So let's begin with the switching train. At this time, all long-distance calls from payphones have to go through the cord board operator in Montpelier, and so when I dial 1, I'll go to some sort of intercept, either a recording or a reorder tone.
This is 802-426. It's Continental Telephone, and it's local to 563, which is also Continental, and 454, which is Bell. And I'm going to do a selector map. 1. Again.
This office has less than 1,000 lines, and for that reason the local office code 426, if dialed, is completely absorbed. You don't even have to dial it. So the 2, as well as the 4 and the 6, are all absorbed repeatedly. Until you dial a different kind of digit, those digits don't do anything but break the dial tone. The digit 3 is absorbed once, that is, when you dial it, the call doesn't go anywhere, but it unlocks the switch so that the next digit you dial can go somewhere. So when I picked up the phone and dialed 222, that didn't go anywhere. The 3 that I dialed after that also didn't go anywhere. But then when I dialed the 3 again, that went into the 426-3300 group. A connector group there. 99 is a flashing supervision test line. Whenever I hit what I think is a connector, I dial 99 so that it rings and flashes as you heard. Now that I know that 3 is the absorbed once digit that allows the following digit to go somewhere, I'm going to want to try 32. There's probably a connector group there as well.
Four, 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 four.
You can dial it all day and you'll never get anywhere. It's absorbed repeatedly. Meanwhile, on the 4 level, we have the Plainfield office, whose code is 454. This time I get into it by dialing 34.
340.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number or try your call again. This is a recording at Plainfield and East Gallus, Vermont.
Intercept recordings before 1975 had something that I really appreciated that we began to lose in 1975. First of all, they used to go out of their way to have women do the recordings as much as possible. Here's that recording we just heard, circa 1973.
This is a recording at Plainfield, Vermont, and East Calais, Vermont. I'm sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time. Please be sure you have dialed or called the right number. If you need assistance, please call your operator. This is a recording at Plainfield, Vermont.
The text of the recordings tended to vary some.
The recording at Hubbardton, Vermont. The number you have dialed is incorrect or has been changed. Please refer to your directory or call your operator. This is a recording.
This is a recording at West Georgetown, New Hampshire and Canaan, Vermont. I am sorry. The number you have reached is not in service or has been changed. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your operator. Thank you.
This is a recording at Woodstock, Vermont. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your operator.
I used to collect those recordings in the early 70s, and now I'm glad I did, because in 1975, among other things, suddenly we see Switchman doing all the recordings and using that redundant text.
You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error,
well, I feel that we've been subjected to that redundant text in error.
This is a recording at Plainfield and East Calais, Vermont.
The recording says it's in Plainfield and East Calais, Vermont. Actually, it's in Plainfield. That's where the central office is. But this central office has two zones. Plainfield, whose code is 454, and East Calais, where the code is 456. Now, for most practical purposes, those two office codes, 454 and 456, are interchangeable. You can make a long-distance call to someone whose number is officially 456 East Calais. Dial 454 instead and you'll reach the intended person. It'll just say the wrong town name on your bill. Won't make any difference as far as the cost of the call because they're too close together for almost all long-distance purposes. It's only when you get down to calling to and from here, Marshfield, and another community called Hardwick, that there's a real difference between 454 and 456. Basically, from here, only the people who are officially 454 can be reached. You can dial 454, followed by the last four digits of a 456 customer, and while that will work fine from long distance, it won't work here. Because from here, Marshfield, we get a special restricted version of Plainfield that only lets you reach the people who are officially Plainfield. Meanwhile, from Hardwick, you get a special version of Plainfield that only allows the East Calais customers to be reached. And then from everywhere else, it does make any difference. Now, the funny thing about this is that the Plainfield office, which had to go through all that trouble, literally building three distinct versions of its incoming side, just so that certain long-distance calls could not be dialed locally. Well, in that same office, they have made a mistake, allowing another long-distance call to be made locally that they don't realize they've done. I'll show you that in an upcoming program.
All right. Five.
Five.
99. I dialed 5599, but what I reached was 4263599. And that's because the 5 and the 3 do exactly the same thing. It goes nowhere, but it unlocks the switch so that the next digit will cut in. The 3 has to do that because of all the Marshfield 426 numbers, and all of those are in the 3000 group. The 5 has to do that so that the code 454 for Plainfield, and also the code 563 for Cabot, will work correctly. This is the other local office, Cabot 563. Cabot is famous for its wonderful cheddar cheese, now available at Walmart. Anyway, Marshfield and Cabot together make a little enclave of Continental Telephone, and Cabot has recently changed its tone plant. I have some tapes of the old one, and now the new one involves a lot of audio tones, which I will explain elsewhere. Intercept in this office has always been handled by a two-step operator process. First, the local cord board is run up, and when the cord board answers, she hears a distinctive tone. She then connects the caller to an intercept operator. The intercept arrangement, however, doesn't always work.
Zero.
Okay, that's supposed to be vacant level intercept in 563, which never works when I'm trying to record it. I'll try again later. So on level 6 is the 563 office.
Here's a call that was made later on when it did work.
561.
Was absorbed, I'll dial 1 again.
Here in Marshfield, intercept works the same way as in Cabot. When you dial a vacant level or vacant number, it rings the local operator, the cord board, and it plays a distinctive tone, sometimes at least, which is intended to tell the cord board operator to connect you to an intercept operator.
Seven.
Operator.
Notice how I could disconnect immediately. That was vacant level intercept, and the operator didn't hear the class of service tone.
The class of service tone is to tell the operator which type of call is on the line. She's sitting at her board, and one of the trunks from Marshfield starts ringing, and she answers it. If she hears this, that means it's an intercept call, and she should just connect the caller to the intercept operator. But she didn't do that. She may have mistaken that tone for the coin tone. Let's dial 0 from this coin phone and I'll show you that.
Zero.
Operator, may I help you?
Sorry, I got you by mistake.
Alrighty.
Here I call a vacant level, the class of service tone sounds, but she doesn't connect me to intercept. Instead, she just says operator. So I ask for information in New York City.
Seven.
Hello?
Hello?
Long distance?
Yes, could you get me information for New York City?
Yes, are you calling from a payphone, sir?
Yes, I am.
Just a moment, please. Connect you with information.
We're in dial again. We're asking.
Notice how I was able to hang right up. On a regular operator call, you can't do that. And that last call suggests that perhaps she did hear this, but mistook it for this. 'Cause she did ask if I was at a coin phone. However, there is a more serious problem, and that is that sometimes there's no tone at all.
This is 7.
Operator.
no tone at all, he assumed that I was calling from a regular phone. I could have asked him for anything. All someone has to do is pick up this phone, dial 7, and then get an operator when the tone does not sound, then pretend to be at a regular phone, ask for assistance calling long distance, lie about the phone number you're calling from, just make it 426-3-something, and the call would go through, and then either a random person or a non-working number would get the bill. That's not something I would do, but it's doable. And the reason I wouldn't do it is just because it's rude to make a mess like that. Then there's the fact that you can just hang up on the operator and get away, so that if the operator got suspicious and decided to hold the call up and trace the call, she couldn't do that either, because you'd be gone. Now, I said that I wouldn't use this to make a free call in such a way that produces a bill. However, there is a way to make a free call through this very same arrangement, the intercept number that doesn't signal the operator correctly. And you can do it in a way that does not produce a bill. And that is to pretend to be calling from a coin phone and then pretend to be depositing the coins to pay for the call. That way the call will go through for free and it won't produce a bill because it was a coin-paid call, of course. Granted, the coins are imaginary, but it doesn't cause a problem. It doesn't make a mess to do this. And so I decided to do it once from New York just to prove the concept. From one of my Manhattan phone lines, I'm going to call into Marshfield, Vermont, long distance. The number I'll call to get the operator is a non-working number within a working Marshfield 100 group. When the operator answers, there's not going to be a class of service tone, but I'll provide one by going... I'll ask her for a number in New York, which can't be direct dialed when you're at a payphone, of course. The number we call will answer very quickly. At that point, the operator will ask me to deposit the money, which I will do using my Arbodyssey synthesizer. The way I have it patched into the phone doesn't let you hear the tones. You'll just hear little clicks as each individual tone is broadcast down the line. And after that, I'll have a brief conversation and hang up.
Yes, could you get me area code 212-534-9979?
Your number?
426-3304.
You're at a payphone, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hold on just a moment, please.
She goes away for a long time. She may need to call the route and rate operator to find out how much money to ask me for when the call answers.
When your party answers, sir, it will be 205.
205?
205.
Okay, thank you.
LJR.
Is this 534-9979?
Yes, it is.
Okay, 205. Hold on for long distance.
Yeah, Frank?
Who is this? Who's this, Bob?
Yeah, hi. Listen, I need something from you. I've forgotten the QXJ entrance code, and, you know, needless to say, there's really nothing I can do once I don't have that.
Yeah, hold on. I do have it right here. Hold on a moment. Okay, that's, are you ready to write it down?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's 256-489-6298J. And then you have to flash twice and dial the 950 prefix.
Yeah, so that's 256-489-6298J. And then you flash twice and dial 950, right?
Right.
Okay, thanks a lot. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
By the way, the number I had her call was a telephone company loop-around. And ironically, I had to pay for it because it's not a free loop around, but it was a message unit. It was worth it to get it on tape. Anyway, back now to the recordings recorded from Marshfield itself. On this next call, I demonstrate something that's kind of interesting. If you come in on intercept and the operator answers, then you quickly hang up and call back. The trunk is busy, and it's busy because when you called back, the operator hadn't pulled her cord yet. So, when you hang up on her, she still holds up the intercept trunk and you can't get back into it until she pulls her cord. It just doesn't hold the line you're calling from. Here, I'll dial 7, the operator will answer, this time again with no tone, then I'll quickly hang up and call back, but it's busy because she hasn't pulled her cord out yet.
7.
Operator?
That was me dialing 7 again while the operator still was holding it. Dialing 8.
When I dialed 8 the first time, it absorbed once, just like a 3 or a 5. Dialing it the second time went into the 426-3800 group. So I dialed 99 and we got the supervision test again. The 8 that absorbs once is there because they had planned to put the coin phones in the 8000 group. Not to build a distinct 8000 group just for coins, but rather to officially publish the number of the coin phone as 426-8-something instead of the usual 426-3-something. Now in practice, they didn't even carry that out. But putting the coin phones in their own 1000 group is a strategy to alert operators to the fact that they should not, without checking further, make collect and third-party calls charged to coin phone numbers. So that's what the 8 is for, but in practice they didn't even do it. The coin phone I'm using has a number written right on the front, 4263-something. It would have been better to put the coin phones in the 9000 group, because that's universally recognized as where coin phones are. And they easily could have put the coin phones in the 9000 group. Both here and in Cabot, the other part of this little continental enclave, what's on the 9 level is the ringback circuit. And the ringback circuit is very important because, as of the 1970s, there are still large party lines in both towns. We're talking about one pair of wires serving up to 10 people. In fact, in the early 70s, a resident of Cabot showed me an index card that the phone company had typed out, listing the codes to dial for all the other people on the line. And for each person there was a four-digit code, 29 plus two digits. In Cabot, the 2 is absorbed, the 9 goes into the ringback circuit, and then the next two digits specify which ring frequencies and on which wire you want the rings to occur. So the idea is to dial 29 plus a two-digit code corresponding to the particular frequency and wire that your bell rings on, plus the frequency and wire that the person you want to call rings on. Then you hang up, and you listen to your phone ringing, and when your phone stops ringing, it means the person you're trying to alert has answered, so you pick up the phone and you talk to him. Now here, it would be 39 plus two digits, because 9 is where the ringback circuit is, and the 3 is absorbed, and by dialing 39, it'll work just fine. Here's a brief recording of my using the ringback circuit. I don't dial the 3, because the 9 cuts right into it. It should not, but it does. But 39 will work too. Anyway, here's dialing 9 plus a 4 plus a 9, then hanging up briefly, and when I pick up the phone, you can hear a little burst of a very high frequency ring.
Nine. 4-9.
Since I picked up during a ring cycle, we got to hear a little bit of the ring power there. I'm curious as to what the frequency is. Here's what I recorded in Cabot a few years ago by putting a dynamic microphone up to the bell coil while the ringback was ringing with that same frequency, the one you get on the digits 4 and 9. Surprisingly, that's higher than 60 Hz. You know how I got that. And that has added harmonics, of course. But in any event, I think it's 66 Hz. That's the highest ring frequency. And the payphone bell itself does not ring when that frequency comes down. It only rings at 20 Hz. I have some more tapes about that made from Cabot. But first, now that we've gone into every level on the originating side of Marshfield, let's take a look at what we found. This is a tiny office. It has the 3200 group, the 3300 group, the 35, and the 38. You can have up to 400 telephone numbers here, but that implies fewer actual lines because there are still many multi-party lines. So you can have up to 10 phone numbers all going to the same phone line. At some point they may have capped it at 8 parties on a line, but the switch could definitely do 10. In addition to the 4 actual 100 groups, you got the long distance trunks on 1, Plainfield on 4, Cabot on 6, Ringback on 9, and the operator on 0. 7's a vacant level. I have more to show you here, calling into Cabot, the other Continental office, and into Plainfield, the New England telephone, that is, the Bell office, that's in the opposite direction. In fact, let's make a quick call to Plainfield. As you can hear from that ringtone, Plainfield is a Bell System 355 step with the newer CDO ring. Now there's more to show you recorded from here, Marshfield. but I want to take you on a trip down the road toward Barrie, the granite capital of the world. And the next stop in that direction is Plainfield, 454. I will see you there in the next program.